United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
CARES is a local program to help those who do not have housing, whole families at a time. And it is a model that could be applied elsewhere. If you happen to be interested in listening to this program today, you're going to find out a lot about a model in which you can relate to a need in your community and to other people in the community. Our guest is Michael Allwine of St. James Church, where he is a senior pastor and a board member of CARES in the Adams County region of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explores. It's an obvious question, but then again, to some people it might not be. Mike, what is the need for accommodations for the poor?
Well, Jerry, even before I answer that, we always talk about Gettysburg CARES, and many people wonder what CARES really means. So let me just say, CARES stands for Combined Area Resources for Emergency Shelter. CARES. So that's a mouthful, but hopefully, I don't know if you remember it, but what probably most important is that Gettysburg CARES is our homeless initiative here in this community. Began 8 years ago, and so we are now beginning, as we begin in the fall of 2019, we are entering into the eighth season. Jerry, you asked what the need is here in the community. And I think many people might think that there is not a need here in this small community of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. But some of the numbers, just from the last couple years, 2 years ago, and this would have been the 2017 season, We served 87 people throughout the months that we were open for sleeping overnight, getting people off the street, especially on the cold winter months. Last year, we served, I think the number was 64. Last year, there was a greater decrease in families. A couple years ago, we served a number of families with children. But some of the housing regulations have changed here in Gettysburg. And so families have been actually sleeping at the shelter that SCAP program runs. So we've seen fewer families the last couple years, but we have still served, like I said, last year, I think it was 67 people. This would have been in 2018.
We've interviewed SCAP, and we've interviewed other individuals who have expertise in poverty in this small town and rural community as an example of how America looks outside of their big cities. And it is quite remarkable that the poverty level is really so high, and the number of people in need for food and shelter is far greater than one would expect. So it's a kind of a thing about being lost in plain sight. On the other hand, we're talking also about individuals, male, female, and some families that are not necessarily housed by SCAP, South Central Community Action Programs. Is this a national program that you derive from on high, as it were?
The actual CARES program is not a national program per se, although there are many national programs throughout the country. There's a homeless coalition that I think is in all the large cities for sure. But the CARES program actually for us began the end of 2011, but we went to Carlisle, just north here of Gettysburg, and they had a program that was called Carlisle CARES. And I think for them, they actually started that program several years prior to that. And so a couple pastors from Gettysburg went to Carlisle And the director there at that time was just very, very generous in her sharing. And so what she ended up giving us was, I would say, almost everything that she possessed in terms of organizational documents and things like that, training manuals. And we brought all of that back and used that very specifically as the basis for trying to form the program here.
So it's a local homeless initiative. Is it also ecumenical? We're talking to the associate, the senior pastor of a large, a relatively large Lutheran church in Gettysburg. Are other churches involved?
Yes, absolutely. The whole idea of this program came to our local ministerium, which is actually the gathering of all the different denominational churches here in the community. And so there's probably between 15 and 20 different congregations that sit around the table when we meet on a monthly basis. And so it actually, this whole program, it began with this conversation among pastors from all the different denominations here in Gettysburg.
There's a lesson in itself, isn't it? We've found years and years now, going on a couple of centuries of theological dialogue, which is very helpful and useful, but the quicker way to cooperation is probably find needs in the community, and this is one that has rung a bell with all of us.
Absolutely.
What are the physical needs for such a program? You're going to have money, you're going to have rooms, showers, maybe certain kind of supervision. What are the needs that you had to develop when you began 8 years ago?
Well, the initial need obviously was places for the individuals to sleep. And so we decided from the very beginning that we would use the various churches. So that was the beginning. And at that very first year, we only had seven churches. So that was a much smaller beginning, actually, compared to now, 8 years later. Now we have 14 churches. So that's really amazing. And we sleep 2 weeks at a time. And so now there's 28 weeks. And we have made our decision to choose what we think will be the coldest months of the year that we will be doing this. So the first thing, obviously, is places. And we've chosen churches for the individuals to sleep. A couple other things. Obviously, around the sleeping issue, we bought at the very beginning 30 mattresses. And when you think about that, it seems like a pretty easy thing to do initially, maybe. But we wanted to be very clear that we ended up buying Army regulated mattresses because they would be easy to clean and easy to transport and all those kinds of things. So and we chose 30 as the number. As we explored spaces in churches, we felt that if we went higher than 30, many churches just wouldn't have either a gymnasium or classrooms or whatever, that they wouldn't have the space. So we made that decision at the very beginning that 30 would be the maximum number that people would sleep. But then beyond the churches, obviously, we needed money. And this has been an amazing community effort where we have written grants, and many local organizations have responded with grants, but also personal donations and churches. So pretty much the money comes from those three resources. We made a decision early on that we wouldn't ask for government grants and things like that. And at least at this point, it has served us well.
CARES is a local interchurch homeless initiative for those who have no overnight accommodations, especially in the cold months of winter, out of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, serving Adams County. But we are presenting it today as a model for other churches or communities of churches to initiate on their own. Our guest, who is one of the founders and a current board member of CARES, is Pastor Michael Allwine of St. James Church in Gettysburg. I'm Jerry Christensen. I didn't mention when we got around to physical needs that eventually you were able to, found it necessary to have and were able to obtain a house and a director.
Yes, that's a great question. At the very first year, we operated out of our local, we have a strong local community soup kitchen, and so they allowed us to use a room because just things like background checks and getting names, just basically biographical information. We needed a place to sit. We needed a table to sit with people. So that very first year, we worked out of the community soup kitchen. But we knew very quickly that we were hoping to find our own building or a house or that we were going to call our resource center. And that happened. The second year, we found a building, which just happens to be owned by St. James Lutheran Church, but it is right next to our church. It sits at 117 York Street here in Gettysburg. And so it's out of that resource center, out of that house, that now we can do things like the guests can do laundry, the guests can get their mail. Again, this is a shelter, and so
It doesn't house people. It's not an accommodation center.
Nope, nobody stays there. Yeah, okay. The only time anybody might stay there is if we have like tiny babies that we are in part of the family. Then we do obviously allow one of the parents or the mother or whomever to, if the baby needs to take naps in the afternoon. But it's much more, we're trying to help people find employment, and so the first thing that is asked is they need an address. So the resource center address can be used for their address. They can get mail here. They can take a shower. They can have access. We have computers, and so they can use our computers to look for jobs. And so the house really becomes kind of their central point. We do not also we serve breakfast to the homeless guests at our local community soup kitchen, but any other meals we provide food at the resource center. Now we don't cook big meals, but we have microwaves and things like that where the guests can find food for either lunch or for the evening meal. So it really is their gathering point throughout the day, but it's not a place where we're just encouraging them to stay there.
No, it's not a hospice or a hostel.
Correct, yep.
You are also able to in this short period of time since you've been in existence, to find a director.
Yes, we found a program director. And actually, as we begin our season in 2019, this is actually Amanda Connor, who is our director now. She's actually our third director. And so we've been able to have a person, and all the people we've hired have had a background in social work, and so it's been the perfect fit. And that person works usually from 8 to 4:30 or something. So we also have nighttime or evening people come in and weekend people, because the daily schedule for the guests is at 8:30 in the evening. They all gather here at the Resource Center, and then they travel to the church where they'll be sleeping. If it's a church here in town, they can pretty much walk. If it's a church that is a little bit further outside the community of Gettysburg, then many of those churches have vans or some kind of transportation, and so the church provides that transportation to the churches. So we have individuals that we have employed to kind of be with the CARES guests until they actually leave the building.
So they're not there all day, obviously. So the whole idea is accommodation at night, and then, of course, resource center to continue to look for work, which I'm sure most of them are anxious to do if they possibly can. What kind of resource have you been able to offer people outside of the basic needs of shelter at night and nutritious breakfast?
Well,
social workers.
Yep, the social worker, and
medical
also
clinics.
We've, and this is only this is always a work in progress. But I think it's been the last 3 years where we have had physicians from our local hospital, WellSpan, as well as nurses come. They come once a month to the resource center and provide very simple kinds of medical care. I always joke when I do the training that we don't do any operations in our resource center, but we do provide very simple medical care. And the doctors and nurses, they donate their time. So it's a very terrific gift from our local hospital.
You have a couple of volunteer social workers, and the VA comes once in a while.
Yep, if we have a homeless person, a homeless guest who is has military background, the VA hospital from Lebanon, somebody will come up and help provide the needs or whatever it is that might be needed, especially if this person's a homeless person. The VA can be very, very helpful in finding some kind of sustainable housing for those individuals.
If you didn't have volunteers, this whole thing wouldn't work.
Correct.
And the volunteers, of course, have to be trained. But what are the primary jobs that the volunteers will fill?
Well, before I even answer that, I will just say the volunteers are the backbone mm-hmm. of this program. And in the years that we've been going, beginning of the eighth year now, in 2019, we've trained between 500 and 600 volunteers. And it's an amazing group of people. And we use volunteers basically three different ways, I would say. One, we have two individuals sleep overnight with the guests. And we prefer a man and a woman. And so we have to train the volunteers for overnight sleeping. Depending on whatever church we are at the given time, we also have trained volunteers from that church that serve as hosts. And so they will be there to greet the homeless guests when they arrive and to kind of lay out where the bathrooms are and where the water fountains are and where the elevators are, things like that. So we have the overnight volunteers, we have the hosts, and then we also have those who volunteer to make breakfast. We provide breakfast 7 days a week, and the breakfast is made at our local community soup kitchen, but it's made by volunteers from the Gettysburg Cares program. And so every day of the week, Monday through Sunday, there are individuals. And again, this is a total community response. There are people from various churches or individuals from other organizations that come and make breakfast every day for the Gettysburg Cares guests.
I can mention that as a means of service and of enhancement of their own, if I may say this, enhancement of a teenage spirituality mm-hmm. where you connect your learning about Christian doctrine and becoming a person within the church and the element of service, especially among Christians. You have your confirmation. That was a long run-up to say you have your confirmation class over there on Sunday mornings.
We do. I think this, I don't know if it was the very first year, but for many years now, 6 or 7 years for sure, our confirmation program here at St. James, and I think in most churches, there's always a strong emphasis on service. And so since we have the resource center right next to our church, we have asked that our confirmation students could actually be in charge of making breakfast every Sunday. So we have a number of teams with a number of adults, parents, teachers on those teams. And so we have 3, 4, 5 students every Sunday from October through April at this point who are at the soup kitchen at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and they're making breakfast for the homeless individuals.
I thought this would be a great note to close on, Mike. I would be unaware of it as a church member, but you are aware that at the 8:15 service, there's a significant number of people, especially young people, in your congregation. Absolutely. Who have already been out there acting and out there Christian faith.
And I always joke with them, if I'm the one leading, if I'm the one at the soup kitchen at 6 o'clock in the morning, I say to them, you can put as much bacon in your pockets as you want, and if people complain at the 8:15 service that you smell like bacon and pancakes, just pull a piece out and give it to them, because you've been around bacon and sausage and pancakes probably earlier than most people would realize.
It's your sign of service. CARES is a local interchurch homeless initiative for people in the Adams County area of Pennsylvania who do not have overnight accommodations or nutritious meals to begin the day. And it is a model that many of the rest of us who are within this listening area who are listening to this podcast can follow. Pastor Michael Allwine is our guest. He's the pastor of St. James in Gettysburg and a board member of CARES. I'm Jerry Christensen for the Seminary Explorers. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.